Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning. This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I am Roy G.
Yeah, I'm Bruce, and Roy's back. It's nice having him lead in.
Yeah, well, when,
we got him back from almost heaven, West Virginia.
That's right.
And by the way, his boys, I'm not going to waste a lot of time on it, but I watched a lot of that game last night because my Giants looked so bad.
Hopefully, you brought all of your furniture inside prior or post game because they're burning everything out there.
Were they?
Oh my God!
You weren't there, were you?
No, I wasn't.
You thank God for that. You would have never made it.
I wouldn't have made it home.
Well, you wouldn't have made it back because they would have had closed down the interstate. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230. We're gonna get into baseball a little bit here to start with, but talk to us a little bit
about Virginia Mountaineers.
Do you have any numbers? Listen, we've kind of adopted the Mountaineers here because they're a relatively close. Team to find. We really don't have a lot of good teams in our area when you think about it. I mean, Virginia Tech absolutely blows this year. The Hokies might be one of the worst teams in college football. Their defense gave up 48 points to the University of North Carolina.
I mean, Tech's pretty bad. UVA, they've picked things up, but they're still pretty bad.
Well, they're bad because most of your friends in West Virginia wouldn't even bother sending an application into the University of Virginia. No. They'd never get in. Well, and then what else? It's not their fault they're stupid. Now, go ahead.
I would never.
Well, that's why.
Personally.
All I'm saying is that's why teams like Virginia, teams like Duke, you know, Ivy League teams. These guys aren't
like
gonna
Stanford, right?
Well,
Stanford.
Well, no. Let me just
they're
tell
no
you,
good at football.
It's California.
There's smart people out there.
No, what you got to do when you talk about Stanford is talk about what the Stanford, all the hierarchy at Stanford allow athletes. Look, they got a great wrestling team out there too. And I trust me, a lot of these wrestlers aren't Rhodes Scholars, but they let athletes in. You can bend the rules as much as your board lets you bend them.
Yeah, but I don't think Stanford
the NCAA
is,
has nothing to say about that, but you got to keep them in school at Stanford.
There's certain things that you have to meet. Is everything okay? There we go. There are certain things you have to meet. SAT scores, GPA, all that kind of stuff. There we go. I got a mic. But there's certain things you do have to meet for the NCAA. SAT scores, GPA.
No, that's the absolute.
Credits taken.
Let me just tell you. SAT scores and, like, where you were in your high school class are all up to the individual universities.
There's certain NCAA regulations.
Yeah, it's like 800 or less.
If
you write your name down correctly on your SATs, you get 400 right there.
Yeah, now in the new stuff.
It's been like that since I took them.
No, you get 200. When I took them, it was 200.
You get 200 on each. On each verbal and math.
Well, now it's 400 each.
I know you went to West Virginia, but 200 and 200 is 400.
You went to ECU. That's not much better.
No, you're absolutely correct. But I even knew that 200 plus 200 was 400.
I know that 200 plus 200 is 400. And I know.
All right. Don't say especially one time today. I don't want to hear it.
Eggs especially.
Yeah, you can say eggs. That'll just make me hungry.
Eggs especially.
Well, we got bad weather here in the Mid-Atlantic today. It's going to be raining. It's going to be in the high 40s, low 50s here in D.C. The Redskins take on Atlanta Falcons. What could be an interesting game on natural grass?
Yeah.
They've had several college games at FedEx Field this year. They've had concerts at FedEx Field. They've had all kinds of stuff going on over there. So if it gets nice and wet out there, maybe all the speed of the receivers and all of the routes that are, you know, just extremely timely and, you know, based on everything being just right with Matt Ryan and, you know, guys like Tony Gonzalez. The guy that I really like is Julio Jones. This guy's a monster.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I just hope he stays healthy.
But New York fans today are – this weekend, I guess, if you include Monday. They have a big week. Two home games at MetLife.
Yeah, yeah.
The Giants host the Browns, and then Monday the Jets night. Host the Texans on Monday night.
You know what? This would have been the weekend to go up there. That would have been fun, yeah. Except there's just so much going on. You got baseball starting up this weekend. Yeah. It's already started last night. My San Francisco Giants didn't show up with the bats. Matt Cain gave up two bombs in the first two or three innings. Down 3-0, Matt only threw 75 pitches. They got him out of there, which will keep his arm sharp for later on in the series. But they've got to come back with a win tonight, and then they'll travel and play the team that they played last night. Come on, help me out here. Who did my Giants play? Oh, Cincinnati Reds. Yeah. They're going to travel to Cincinnati, and if they lose 2 out of 3 in Cincinnati, it's over for the Giants, and the Giants won the West. A lot of really neat things happened this week. There was a playoff game. Actually, the New York Yankees, Pinstripes, came down to the last game with the Baltimore Orioles, and they won.
Yep.
The Orioles ended up playing the wild card game and traveling to Texas, and Texas had a meltdown of historic proportions. Ron Washington, Wash, I love you, buddy. And, you know, I haven't lived a perfect life either. And I know you got a lot of stuff going on. Wash is my age. He's like, you know, late 50s. Was a great ball player. Very good manager. But the times, he just lost that team. He lost that team after the All-Star break. They were up by like 12 games in June.
I don't know if you can take that much away from what the Orioles did, though.
Anything away from what the Orioles did, but what I'm saying is Texas should never have been in a position where they're a wild card team. They lost to the Oakland A's. They lost the West to the Oakland A's in the last game of the season.
Yep.
And they got swept in a series. And Josh Hamilton's acting like Josh has not relapsed as far as I can see, but gosh, you know, I mean, I just don't know what he's doing. I mean, he's losing balls in the sun. They blamed it on too much caffeine, which I can see that. I can also see too much dip because dip is like caffeine.
You see me every Sunday.
You can still catch a ball. I mean, he was missing balls. He was charging ground balls in the outfield and running right by him. I mean, to me, that's like you haven't been to sleep in 2 or 3 days. And I pray that's not what's going on with him. But, you know, he's a free agent now. And what's going to be amazing is he's still going to make $15, $20 million a year somewhere. Somebody will pay him the money.
He's still
Yankees,
very, very good baseball player.
Yeah, but the Yankees will pay him. And the Yankees, you know what?
I think there's a lot of teams that will pay him. He's definitely the biggest name going out this offseason, this free agent period. Josh Hamilton is absolutely the biggest name out there, and he's going to see a lot of attention for it.
For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here, and we're getting into a little bit of baseball, a little bit of football later. We did touch on a little bit of college football, and I guess we're going to finish up with the rankings here. Is that what you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, let me ask you this. If Colin Kaepernick gained 40 pounds, 50 pounds, would he beat Tim Tebow?
Would he beat Tim Tebow?
He's probably a little he doesn't have the hardware that Tebow does.
They're very similar.
Because he went to Nevada. I mean, let's face it, Nevada plays in that Big Sky or Big Sky Conference, and they're decent. But this kid Kaepernick, he used to throw 50, 60 passes a game. And Roy and I have a little bit of a bet going here. I thought I saw that he ran like a 4.58 40 in the combine.
Yeah, I just looked at the 4.53, I think.
Roy was going, he's not as fast as Tima.
Roy, well, Tebow put up a good. He put
Roy
up a good 40
loves time. Yeah, but you know what Tebow did do? He's got a great vertical. He had the best broad jump. He had the best everything except obviously 40. Because
he
that
had a
had
very
to be,
good 40 time.
Was that the best? Do you think that was the best for quarterbacks? Anyway,
I mean, he broke all kinds of combine records, Tim Tebow. I don't know. I mean, we're on Tim. We always find ourselves on Tim Tebow.
Last year, we loved Tim Tebow, and what did he do?
He brought his team to the playoffs.
He took Denver, John Fox, that really very average coach.
Tebow ran a 4.7.
Yeah, and so. Kaepernick's a 4.53. Yeah. That's just a couple steps, three steps. You know, really, that's only three steps. That's all it is. Because I was watching kids run 60s. Baseball players run 60s. Football players run 40s. Go figure. But the 60, I guess they figure that's, you know, closer to a double. You know, you got to see how fast you can get to second base. See how fast you can get home from second base. And that's what they're really looking. See how fast you can travel across the outfield if you're an outfielder, right? Mm-hmm. But football players, everything's based on speed. Spurts, 10 yards, 20 yards. You can watch. I was watching these guys, these baseball players run about 2 weeks ago when they were being timed. They were timing them at 20, 40, and 60, which was kind of neat. And, you know, some of these guys were hitting full speed before they got to 40 yards, and some of them were just getting faster. Guys with longer legs, guys with slow twitch muscle fibers.
Kaepernick, his 40 high was a 4.465. And Tebow's was a 4.77.
Yeah, but that's still good. You know,
his 20 is a 2.63. Tebow's was a 2.66.
So Tebow's going to play today. Roy already told me. And Roy talks to Rex. I think he does it in his sleep, but he does talk to Rex.
That's
he summons Rex, and it's got something to do with feet, right?
Say, hey, Rex. What's up, buddy?
Don't you rub your feet and go, Rex, listen to me.
He's pretty much a genie in a bottle, except I rub my feet, yes.
Don't rub your feet, Rex is not going to hear you.
He pops out of the – I have one of those little massage baths for your feet, and he pops up right out of that. And he told me today, he said, Tim Tebow will play, and it's going to be good. He's going to be good. Tim Tebow, his season starts today with the New York Jets.
We're going to have Steph Stradley.
I have a feeling.
We're going to have Stephanie Stradley on. Steph is beat reporter. She's a lot of things. She's a beat reporter for the Houston Texans, worldwide traveler. She's an attorney. Her husband is an attorney. And she's going to come on with us sometime after the 11 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Houston Texans.
Yep.
And I'm just going to go ahead and give you a game right now. I'm taking Houston. And I'm not going to tell you whether they're my straight cash homie play or not, but I am taking Houston. And, oh, by the way, my Green Bay play, I got killed because my boy, Aaron Rodgers, discount double check Aaron, got poked in the eye on a first and right before he got first and goal from the 1 yard line. They bring in some klutz backup quarterback, and the center steps on his foot. He fumbles the football. He's not even smart enough to just eat the ball.
Man,
he tries to hand it off while his face is being planted in the dirt, and then the other team goes 95 yards and scores a touchdown. It's a 14 point turnaround, and I lost my Green Bay play. Now, I'm 2-2 now with my best plays, which isn't what you want to be as a handicapper. Roy, if you go to
sportsmancave.com
and you look at all Roy's plays, all you got to do is listen to Roy, and he's winning everything.
I'm doing good.
Yeah, but you're winning everything.
My first 2 weeks were terrible.
I saw something that was like, I don't know, 5-1, 8-1, 3. Are you 3-1? Who was your straight cash home?
That's what I'm looking at.
Did
right
you
now.
Win? I think you're 2-2 also. Because didn't you have – we had the same straight cash home he played 2 weeks ago. We both had Baltimore, and we lost by a point and a half.
My straight cash home was the Cincinnati Bengals, so I hit.
You hit.
Cash, yeah.
So I'm 3-1.
A straight cash – Randy, shut up, man. I'm so tired
straight
of that.
Cash, homie.
Yeah, right. Hey, speaking of Randy Moss, T.O. needs a job.
He does need a job.
Who else needs a job?
Chad Johnson, I'm sorry.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Don't call him Ocho Cinco.
Who is it that needs receivers worse than anybody in the world? Wouldn't it be the New York Jets?
Yes.
Don't they have, like, everybody hurt right now? Why? How can you not get Chad Johnson? He's not Ocho Cinco anymore. He actually cut that loose. He's Chad Johnson again.
Yeah, well, he got married, and then she made him drop it. She was like, I will not be Miss Ocho Cinco. And then she threw a fit because she got headbutted.
Now, they're not together anymore, are they? Are they together anymore?
No, she can't take a headbutt.
So evidently, Chad Johnson.
Chad, you don't want to be with her anyways, okay? Yeah. You don't want to be with a girl who can't take a headbutt.
Why do you want to be with somebody? Didn't she do something to somebody else, Roy?
Well,
No, she was married to somebody else, and she did him wrong, too.
Yeah,
right?
Well, she was married to some basketball player. I don't remember who
that's
it was.
That's exactly right.
And she was on Real Housewives.
A brilliant NBA basketball player.
She was on the Real Housewives of Atlanta, I think.
Oh, now that gets her into some
fine company. She's on one of the Real Housewives things where it's basically just women who are married to athletes more money than they know what to
do. Was she ever romantically coupled with Chipper Jones? Because he's been with everybody. Doesn't he have four sons from four different women?
I don't know.
It's something like that.
I don't
that.
Know. I can't say anything bad about Chipper, though.
I love Chipper.
I do love Chipper.
I'm just saying. You know,
and he got teary-eyed. Did you see that play?
Did you see the play? His last at bat. You know,
he was out by three steps.
Yeah, but listen to me. He got teary-eyed in Washington when they gave him all that stuff because I was there.
They gave him his bat back.
I was behind.
We didn't have this. We don't really. You gave it to us because it was the first hit in the stadium.
Yeah, we're giving it back to you because we don't have room on our wall for it.
I don't know if you know, but we just won the division, so we're going to try to make room for things. So here's your bat back.
All right, let's do this. Let's finish up talking baseball here for now. We do have some baseball games on. The people in the Mid-Atlantic area have got some things to talk about tonight.
There's still baseball games.
Yeah, there's baseball games going on while football games are going on. And I want to say the Birds, the Orioles, and the Nats both have games.
Yep.
While their other teams are going to be on the field. I'm sorry.
Well, no. The Orioles play at 6. The Ravens play at 1. So
I thought the Ravens were a 4 o'clock game.
Mm-mm, no, the Ravens play at 1.
Oh, okay. Then we're
so
good.
So they're okay.
No, they're fine, but the Nats aren't.
We're not okay in my household because Redskins, she's a Ravens fan, and the Nationals play at 3. So I only have one TV. It's going to hit the fan. And I already know who's winning.
Hey, can I brag just for a second? Can I brag for a second?
Please do.
I got to brag because I'm having such a wash, okay start of my season. The season is a quarter over, not counting playoffs. There was a game, you know, there's Thursday night games now. I love it. It really is fun having a Thursday night game. I'm sure these guys don't. You know, what they hate about playing and having the short week, it makes up for it having 2 days off the next week.
That's true.
Because they get 2 days off. They get the next day off, and they also get that's correct. They get Friday and Saturday off.
And you saw it helped the Rams.
Yes.
As they played Seattle. Did they play Seattle last week on a Thursday night? Did they play two back-to-back Thursday night games?
They beat Seattle. They sure did. And they had won both of their home games. Look, there are times that we have what's considered a historic play.
Oh, sorry. It was the Ravens-Browns last week. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but but they did beat.
They beat Seattle last
week. Seattle. Yeah. And, you know, Arizona was on a 4-game winning streak. Now, they had played some good defense, but, you know, they were doing it with Kevin Cobb, who is okay. He's not, in my opinion, he's not a top-10 quarterback by any means, never will be. But you got to like what Kenny Wisenhunt and his coaching staff have done with Arizona. They got some great players, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, you know, I was looking at these numbers coming in on Thursday, and, you know, the line opened at 38.5 on the total, stayed at 38. I didn't want to play with that because I knew it would probably go under, but that was a good number. It opened at 2.5. Arizona, the visitor, minus 2.5, and it closed at minus 1.5, which meant that everybody, you know, a few people, it was an adjustment made by the bookmakers in Vegas, and against the spread, only 48% was bet on the home team. That doesn't happen very often. The money, there wasn't even any money really they could count on a money line because in Vegas, nobody cares about Arizona and St. Louis, but because St. Louis covered, listen to this, 15.5% of the public had that, including Bruce Hall Sports.
I did not get it.
And all you had to do was call me, and that's what I told everybody last week. Now, we're not going to give you Monday. I'm going to write this number down, 1-800-466-4748. That's 1-800-466-4748. Call me anytime. I don't care. You can send me a text. You can call me. But give me a call Monday sometime during the day, generally – you're better off calling after 2 o'clock because I'm probably still trying to figure out what I want to do from a standpoint of numbers that night. And Thursday, call me too, because as long as we're going to have Thursday football games, guess what? I know one TV, it's going to be tuned in, mm-hmm. and I'll be watching every play and sometimes watching two or three different replays of the same play. Because you know what? I love commercials, but I've seen them all 100 times. I don't need to see the commercials, but I do like to see the plays over and over. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm with Roy Edwards here. We got Matt Lynch over on the board, and we're talking football. Let's talk football.
You want to talk football? We'll just skip over the rest.
You know what? You know, baseball right now, I can't talk about it because there's just too many good games today. Let's go to the next game. If you got something there for me we can talk about?
Sure. The first game that we're going to talk about is, well, because the Thursday night game already happened. The first game today that we're going to talk about is the Atlanta Falcons -3 over the Washington Redskins. The over-under there is 50.
You know, if it wasn't, if we weren't getting 4 inches of rain today and it wasn't 48 degrees, I'd like the over in this game for a couple of reasons. Atlanta's defense is okay. You know, Peyton Manning made them look a lot better on Monday Night Football or Sunday night that time they played. Mm-hmm. Than they really are. They get a little bit of a pass rush, but not much of one. They have a very average defense, in my opinion. They really do. Plus, Grimes is out. He's one of their best corners. He's a Pro Bowl corner. He's out for probably a pretty long time. The Redskins have no defensive backfield. Zero. They have no safeties.
They rank 27th in worst pass and 27th
they
in
have
rush.
The slowest cornerback in the NFL right now, D'Angelo Hall, who somehow or another didn't make it to one of the late practices. He didn't come out on the field, which led people to believe he might have tweaked his hamstring the day before. He is not on the injury list. But the Redskins have people on the injury list. Two of their best players out for the season on the front line. They're going to miss Arakpo because they're not getting any pressure on the quarterbacks. Yeah. And then when you got a 39-year-old middle linebacker who's an All-Pro in London Fletcher, but you're forcing him to cover guys like Tony Gonzalez, he can't cover Tony. London's probably 5'9", maybe.
Yeah.
Tony's 6'6".
And that's the key to the game right there is shutting down Tony Gonzalez because he is leading the Falcons right now. In targets. And that's not even mentioning the two guys they have on the wings in Julio Jones.
They can't go
and Roddy White.
Yeah, the Redskins can't go zero coverage. They did it on the first play of the game last week. They pitched it out to some kid that threw the ball for an 80-yard touchdown. I mean, that's Redskins defense to me. But I got to tell you something. This kid, Robert Griffin, is the real deal.
He is.
You know what? He's the best thing that's happened here. There hasn't been a quarterback in Washington with this kind of talent since Sonny Jurgensen. And Sonny Jurgensen's waistline was probably a 40. Robert Griffin's is probably a 32, and his shoulders are probably a 50. This kid is a monster. He's a great kid. He's smart. He's picking up. They were worried about him coming out of Baylor and where he took direct snaps in a shotgun the entire time. They were worried about him lining up behind a quarterback. He's doing fine. Yeah. They're worried about him getting
hit. But
they're
also tailoring it to his expertise. They're running a lot. They're running that option. They're running the spread, rolling him out. They're running that pistol formation that you see all over college football these days. So they're tailoring it to his talents, but you're exactly right. They're wondering how that was going to translate.
They're
to the
running
game.
A lot of misdirection with him, too. He can get to a spot real quick, put the ball in somebody's belly, bootleg the other way, and there's nobody there.
He's look good.
And even if somebody's there, he can beat him to the outside, to the corner. He can cut it inside and buy himself some time to throw. This game, I'm going to take the Falcons, and here's why I'm going to take the Falcons. They just have better players on the defensive side of the ball.
Too many weapons, and I like it. I like Atlanta too.
I think it's going to be a good game, but I think this is going to be a 10-point game. I really do. Anyway, when we get back, we're going to talk more football. We're waiting on a call at the 11 hour. If you want to hear somebody totally different than you usually listen to on the radio talk about, you know, besides Linda Cohn, I really have never had a lady on my show that was a beat writer. There are some good beat writers out there, and Steph Stradley's one of them. She's going to talk about the Houston Texans and what to expect from them the rest of this season. And we'll be back here in a minute. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. I'm Bruce Hall, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back running down the NFL plays for today. Who to pick, hey, who to stay away from.
I want to throw this in real quick. Fordham won yesterday. They beat Georgetown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was 38-31. Looks like an offensive juggernaut kind of game. But, hey, that's got to be good football.
It's always a good day when you beat powerhouse Georgetown.
Yeah. Basketball, maybe. Yeah. No, actually, Fordham. Listen.
No, that's a big win. That's absolutely a big
Fordham
win.
Fordham has so much history. I love Fordham. Vince Lombardi. What were they, the five blocks of granite? I think that's what they called the offensive line that played there at Fordham back in the, God, that had to be like in the 40s.
So you late were 30s, early 21?
40s. No, I was almost, my parents didn't get married till 1941. No, that wasn't me. We're going to have Steph Stradley on. She's big time with the Houston Texans. She knows everything about the Texans. She's going to be on at the 11 hour. But we're gonna continue our onslaught of the NFL, and we're mm-hmm. going to talk about what we're going to do. I am taking, by the way, NHBowl.com. Go to NHBowl, B-O-W-L.com. You won't see my name at the top of that very, very, very good handicapping
standings.
Yeah, the reason you won't is because I just struggled so bad last week. And it started with Green Bay, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. There's nothing worse than losing your number one quarterback on the 1 yard line. Yeah. You bring in some idiot that fumbles the ball.
I had a good week last week.
That's what we call sour grapes. Yeah, I know you did.
4-1.
Good. Enjoy it.
4-1, 10-6, 10-4 in over unders. Not a bad week.
No, that's great in over unders, especially. I was 0-2. I didn't play 12. You play everything part of your website. I need to start doing that. But I think I'm doing it on another thing, and I'm not doing that good there either. But you know what it is? In the NFL, it's always this. It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
That's right.
It's how you finish. And I would say that by January 1st, I'm going to know who's going to win the Super Bowl. I'll at least know who's in the game. Most people don't even call me till December. By the way, my 800 number is 1-800-466-4748. That's 1-800-466-4748. And call me anytime. Leave me a message. Text me. I'll get back to you. I'll let you know what's going on. Fantasy-wise, yeah. I'm 3-1, and you're what?
I'm 1-3. I beat Utah. I beat Kyle, though. I beat
yeah,
Kyle.
I don't understand.
So, Kyle, our board op, yeah. Back in the station.
Hey, Kyle, by the way, it's nice to have you back.
Thanks for giving me the first win of the season.
Exactly. I think Kyle beat me. Kyle beat me. I don't know how that happened.
So that means in turn, I beat you.
I was terrible. Hey,
I beat two people.
I just added Danny Amendola, and he goes down in the first quarter of the game the other night. He did make a catch.
In my big play league, I had him starting, and he got me 3 points.
I'm struggling. All right, let's talk. Give me a game. All right, give me a game.
On to the next, like Jay-Z, right? Next game we have is Pittsburgh -3.5 over the Philadelphia Eagles. Over under there is 43.
The Mike Vick we saw this past week is the Mike Vick that Andy Reid would take for the remaining games of the season. He didn't do anything flashy. He didn't turn the ball over either. He didn't throw a pick. Not one turnover, not a fumble that he lost. And, they ended up barely holding on to my New York Giants. Yeah. And I say my New York Giants, and I'm sure there's thousands of people listening out there. It's your New York Giants, too. I thought the Giants had this. Look, I play the Giants on the road in the division.
Yeah,
They should have won the game.
They should have.
Every time
Absolutely.
They needed to go down the field, they did. Ramses Barden. Drew a pass interference call that was marginal. It really probably wasn't pass interference, but I want to say that was still the still the lousy refs, the replacement refs that night.
These were the real.
They were the real refs. Well they
these were the really lousy refs. The real lousy refs.
The real
lousy refs who are real.
real parentheses refs, and they're acting like they're in their first preseason game, some of them.
Yeah, well, but, you know, I mean, for a lot of them, it does take that preseason.
It takes a while.
Is very important to the referees as well. So
you know what they did call more than anything I ever saw in my life? Holding. Holding.
Yeah.
Holding.
Well,
you know why? Do you know why they call holding so much? Because they get to rest during a penalty. They get to rest. The referees do not get to rest. If there's like a no huddle offense, like Eli will go to the no huddle, like nobody's business.
Eli Baltimore, looked,
by the
Denver.
Way, Eli looked good the other night. Eli looked great, but Ramses Barton, hey, what were you thinking when you literally strangled the guy with? He looked like he had three or four arms around the guy's neck, and anyway, that knocked him back. What, 15 yards, 10 or 15 yards? And that was
it.
They missed the field goal by 2 yards,
yeah.
Basically.
Manning was he threw for 309 yards, two touchdowns. The Giants did have a turnover. Vic, like you said, a very conservative 241 with a touchdown. So a very different Michael Vick than we've seen in the first couple weeks. And like you said, one that Andy Reid probably wants to see more of instead of the one who's getting his butt kicked, turning over the football. So, I mean, the Eagles... I'm not sold on the Eagles winning this division. I know there's a lot of Eagles fans out there who would argue that, but I don't think they're good enough. They have they get Macklin back today. DeSean Jackson still looks like he's afraid to run across the middle, even though he got a contract. Michael Vick is inconsistent, and then the Giants with Eli Manning, they have a good running game. I think this was a slip up game. They should have won this game, and they still look good. They're still in good position to take this division.
Pittsburgh gets back three ballers. They get back Mendenhall in the backfield,
yep.
Who's supposed to start, by the way. They get back, the head and shoulders dude.
Palamalu.
It's Palamalu.
They get back Troy with the nice hair. He is a good-looking guy.
He's got great hair.
If he shaved his head, he'd still be good-looking. And that hair would probably grow back kinkier than it already is. And then they also get back James Harrison. Now, yep. here's my thoughts on this game. You know, the Steelers are 3.5-point favorites, correct?
Yeah, open up at 2.5.
It's gone to 3.5. Yeah. Well, you know, and there's a reason why. Number one, you know... The Eagles just got done with a very physical game against the New York Giants. It's got to be some kind of a letdown. But how do you let down going into Heinz Field? You're not going to. But Ben Roethlisberger has won 9 out of his last 10 games in that stadium. He's got arguably 3 of his best players coming back healthy this week. There's a lot of people. If you look on the odds board there and you look at Vegas and where the money is right now, a lot of people betting Pittsburgh. I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole because it can go either way 3 points like nobody's business. Now, if Mike Vick comes out and tries to do too much today, they're gonna get beat. If he does what he did last week and he just feeds the ball to a couple of receivers, including Celek. Selleck's been great so far. As a matter of fact, Vick's using Celek more than he's using his wideouts.
He needs to use Celek if they're going to have
Macklin's,
a shot.
Now, Macklin's back.
Macklin is back.
He's back, and Jeremy Macklin's his number two, and he's arguably his number one.
He could be his number one because, like I just said, DeSean Jackson still looks like he's afraid to run across the middle. And he got that was what he came out and said last year. I don't want to run across the middle until I get a new contract. Well, you got a new contract, and you're still not running across the middle, which I can't really blame him. He's about 5'2", 102 pounds soaking wet. The guy is tiny, running across the middle with monsters there. But I think that Palomo's going to be flying around the field. Michael Vick already doesn't really know what he's doing out there, as he's had multiple turnover games. So I like Pittsburgh here, but I'm on your side of the thought process here, whereas I'm not going to play it.
Yeah, I got to pass the game. Plus, they're going to have some weather up there. I mean, it's going to be bad here. It's going to be bad in Pittsburgh. Might not be quite as bad in Pittsburgh, but it's going to be bad enough. Give me another game, Roy.
Next up, we have the Green Bay Packers -7 over the Indianapolis Colts. The over-under here is 48.
You know, here we got arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in Aaron Rodgers. They're figuring it out slowly. I wrote this week on my blog, and I also, if you go to brucehallsports.com, you can read the blog as we go through it, find the game, see what I wrote about it. You know what I really like about Green Bay right now? I really like McCarthy. McCarthy came out after he got screwed so bad with that last call in Seattle, and basically took the company line. He just said, you know what, doesn't do any good to worry about it. We're just going to worry about the next opponent. You know, we're not here to say whether something's right or wrong or whether it's good or bad. We're going to get ready for the next game. Mm-hmm. You know what? There's a reason this guy's going to have a job for as long as he wants to work. And he's going to win a lot of ball games. What's happening in Green Bay, to me, just seems like, with all the injuries they've had and all of the guy, the defections, so they've had some guys leave the team over the past couple of years. The thing that I do like about Green Bay is they're figuring it out again. If they keep Aaron Rodgers healthy, you know, they really don't have, you know, they're using the running back from Cincinnati. You know who he is.
He's not
in Green Bay, goofball.
He's the big guy. He's in Cincinnati.
He's in Cincinnati.
It's Cedric Benson.
He seems to be doing a lot better than a lot of people thought he would in Green Bay, which leads you to believe, like, they're better drive blockers, I think, than pass blockers. And also, they're not protecting Aaron Rodgers all that great.
No.
I think Green Bay right now is a slightly above. I have them rated as okay. I don't have them okay plus. I got them okay. Hey, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here. We're finishing up the Green Bay Indianapolis Colts game.
Want to get back real quick to that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Indianapolis head coach Chuck Pagano, who was defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens for 2 years.
Yep.
Was diagnosed. His wife, who's a nurse, works in the healthcare industry. He was bruising very easily, like all the time. And she basically said, go get a checkup. Just make sure you're okay. He's got a form of leukemia that's treatable. Yep. They found out it's he's got, you know, a good year to 2 years of a fight ahead of him. But from what I understand, it's the kind that they caught it early enough. It's a good thing his wife, you know, this is why it's important for people who have loved ones and even people that aren't loved ones. If you have some information, you know what I mean? I mean, if you're in the office and it's not your, you know, it's not somebody you're related to, but they're complaining about headaches, really bad headaches, just tell them to go get a checkup. Mm-hmm. It won't hurt anything. You know, I just recently found out one of my best friends has a brain tumor, and you know, he's in his 60s, but you know, I wish I could have done something to help him. But anyway, last week we talked about this. There could be a little bit of, I mean, there were some pretty upset people. Chuck Pagano has done a remarkable job in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. He came there, you know, from Baltimore. He's always been on the defensive side of the ball. Bruce Arians is there. You know, he hired Bruce Arians, who used to be the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive coordinator. And to be honest with you, they're probably missing him because the guy that's there now is one of those New England quote-unquote cheaters we'll talk about later. And he hasn't really done anything for Ben Roethlisberger that I can see. But my point here is the game is a 7-point line, Green Bay -7 as an away favorite. I don't like the game. I like Andrew Luck. You know, Fleener might not play. He's got a concussion. You know, they do have one great Reggie Wayne to throw to.
Yep.
And even if they double Reggie, they're going to be able to pick. Andrew Luck is doing a good job. He's not, you know, RG3's stealing a lot of the limelight, which is probably is perfectly good for Luck because he doesn't care if he is the center of attention or not. But this kid's going to be a starter, and he's going to be a great quarterback for a long time. But I'm going to pass on this game. There's just too many unknowns going into it. You know what I mean? And they are closing the roof in Indianapolis. For those of you that know that, generally speaking, the number goes over. Now, if you think the Colts are going to put up a 20 burger today, bet the over. Play the over in your little pools and whatever.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, leave it alone.
I mean, there is the urge for me to leave this game alone. The Colts are coming off of a bye. They have the Pagano effect. They're at home. They're in a dome. but they're just not good enough. The Packers, the Green Bay Packers are a very good football team. They're coming off back-to-back close games. I know that they struggle with the Seattle speed rush, and the Indianapolis Colts seemingly invented this the speed rush with Dwight Freeney. But I just don't see a slip-up game here. I just I don't see a
I'm feeding Roy like a dolphin.
I don't think this is a trap game at all. I think that the Packers roll here, and I think they absolutely cover that spread.
So this is one of your five plays?
This is my number five play.
Thank God for that, because you're going to lose that one. I'm going to pass. Hey, let's go to Baltimore. Let's talk about the Ravens now. They're playing Kansas City. I want to say they're a 6.5-point favorite when I looked this morning. Are they still floating at 6.5,
yep,
Roy?
It's Baltimore minus 6.5 over the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know,
46.5.
We were talking about these Thursday night games and how much I love them. But, you know, you don't know how the players feel. But, you know, even if you've got to,
unless it's Ed Reed, and then he'll let
but
you
even
know.
If you've got to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and literally not get one day of pads on and play on Thursday, they gotta love the next week, because the next week they get like 2 or 3 days off and to do pretty much what they want. Now, you know, they've had two extra days to prepare. Kansas City, you know, we'll talk about Kansas City later. I think Scott Paoli, who was formerly in New England, I think Romeo Crennel, who was the defensive coordinator in New England for years, I think these guys are going to be on a short they're going to be walking off a short pier here very, very, very soon. I just don't think they're going to take a long walk off short piers, what I'm trying to say. I don't see any way these guys are going to be with Kansas City after this year, because the Kansas City Chiefs, I think they're going to win like 4 games maybe. And everybody, a lot of people thought these guys were going to be good. Hey,
yeah, I was one
they
of them.
Can't be good. If you look at what they got going on. Now, Jamaal Charles is a talent. There's no question about it.
And he's back and he's healthy.
He's back and he's healthy, but he's got an offensive line. It's not doing him any favors. They've got guys down, too. They've also got Matt Castle, who, if you read, what was the name of the book that I love so much that I just finished?
Spygate. The Untold Story.
If you read that book, you'll know all you need to know about Matt Castle if you believe in that book. Now, I do believe in that book because I know everybody they're talking about in that book. And what it basically says is that when guys leave New England, like Matt Castle, how does a guy who never played one down in college get picked up as a 7th-round pick by the New England Patriots? And when Tom Brady goes down, he has better numbers than Brady that same year that he went down.
They did go 10-6.
Well, guess what? He goes to Kansas City, and what's he doing? This year he's got 5 touchdowns, 7 picks. Signed a big deal. I want to say it was 4 years, $40 million.
Giant, yeah.
Everybody that's been in New England is signing big deals elsewhere, and not one person that I can say. There's a guy at Penn State right now, O'Brien. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows anything about the guy except for when he was in college at a smaller school. He was like 2 wins and 15 losses in 2 years. Well, how does he get the Penn State job? Because he was a New England Patriot assistant offensive whatever you want to call them. They call them coordinators, but what they are is something more. And if you really want to find out, read that book.
And nobody wanted the Penn State job. I mean, let's be clear there. I mean, that's a trap right there. He'll be there for maybe 2 years, and he'll be gone.
They won big yesterday, but I think they're winning right now because these are guys that Joe Pa and the other coaches have recruited. This is still Joe Pa's team.
Yeah.
For another year. Joe Pa, or at least another year, maybe 2 years if these guys don't defect.
Well,
and you know what?
They're not going to get any new recruits. Not right now.
No.
Not with the band that they're
not
on.
Not with all the rules and regs that they've got on that. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Talking to Roy G. Roy Edwards.
Yeah, but back to this Baltimore-Kansas City game.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. The total's 47.5.
This is a trap game to me.
I don't like it anyway.
This is a trap game.
Well, let me just say this. I don't like Baltimore as an away favorite. You and I both like them at home.
Yep.
And they cover at home.
Absolutely.
When they get beat, get beat on the road. But you know, if the Ravens play the game they can play, they'll win this game by 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But leave it alone. There's too many other good games.
Yeah.
I got to leave it alone. Quarterback rate, you know, Brady, you know, I, not Brady, but Matt Castle, in my opinion, this guy's average at best.
He is average, but he has a very good backfield.
But with Jamal
Charles and a guy named Peyton Hillis, who has given the Baltimore Ravens trouble.
Yeah, but who's got a better defense right now, especially defensive backfield, than the Ravens? They have the best defense in the AFC right now, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I'd probably agree.
Is there
better
that.
Than Pittsburgh? Because Pittsburgh can't keep anybody on the field.
Well, Houston Texans.
Yeah, Houston Texans have the best defense. But then after that, it's Baltimore. And really, when you look at the AFC now, you like Baltimore and Houston in the AFC Championship.
I like Baltimore a lot, but I feel like the long week going into Arrowhead, which is a very, very difficult place to play.
Right.
You're going up a team who traditionally runs the football. They have a bruiser back and they have a cut guy.
But they're wearing bags over their heads now in Kansas City.
Well,
if they don't jump out to a big lead against Baltimore, it's going to be a nasty place to play today.
I think this is a trap game. I'd like the Ravens to win.
Well, let me just tell you. I hear what you say about trap, but listen to what I'm telling you. Buffalo and San Diego have both destroyed this team. Destroyed them. These are two average teams. San Diego is going to lose to the New Orleans Saints today,
in my opinion. So. I don't have that.
Well, then you play San Diego.
I'll take Norv,
I'll take Drew.
Okay?
The Ravens have Joe Flacco's offense. You know what? I'm going to pass on this. On my website, I'm taking the Ravens minus the points. I've changed my mind. I'm not going to take them. I changed my mind right after I wrote this last night.
I have the Ravens because I pick every game, but I don't like this game at all. I think it's a trap game.
All right, let's do Minnesota-Tennessee. You got that up there somewhere?
Yeah.
What's your current line in Minnesota?
Minnesota is minus 5.5.
Well, you know what? There's
a
value for you right there.
44 is the line.
This is a team that is starting to turn heads. Their defense is getting better. Their head coach is a defensive guy to begin with. You know, they've got 12 sacks already, and their big sack guy that only has two.
Jared Allen,
they're slowly but surely improving their squad. They're gaining an identity, and they have
Christian Ponder's playing smart football.
He's a brilliant quarterback. He's supposed to start this week, even though he's a little bit nicked up. Adrian Peterson, how does a guy come back in nine? I don't want the answer to that.
How does a guy
come back in 9 months from ACL and MCL surgery? He had both of them were torn, and look what he's doing. I mean, he looks great.
Well, there's a reason why he paid that guy $100 million, and that's why the guy won't miss a snap even when he has ACL surgery. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, Percy Harvin and AP are going to have they're going to continue to make big plays. Mm-hmm. I really like the greatest thing about Ponder is not only is he good in the pocket, moving around in the pocket, he's really good running the ball too. If he stays healthy, Minnesota, in my opinion, is going to be the team rather than Detroit in the North in the playoffs.
Huh?
I just see it happening. The Bears are going to be they're going to be tough if they can keep certain guys healthy.
Yeah.
If the Bears get two or three injuries, mm-hmm. like a Forte or even a Cutler, you know, any of these guys, they're probably going to have a rough road too. Green Bay, like I said already, and this is Bruce Hall's second opinion on AM 1230 WFAS, in my opinion, I think they're just slightly above average this year. I don't see Green Bay winning more than 9 games. They may only win 8. They've got a tough schedule.
Very tough schedule.
And
the North is not what we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the year. A lot of people had Detroit very good. A lot of people thought Green Bay was on the way.
The West has shown up.
Yeah.
The West has shown up. But the guy I'm talking about, Jared Allen, God, what a monster this guy is. But he's only got 2 sacks.
A lot of people said he should have won the defensive MVP last year.
Hey, against Tennessee today, he could get 4 sacks himself. I'm taking Minnesota minus the 5.5 to play it in probably 2 or 3 different ways today. Because I think Minnesota just drubs Tennessee. I mean, Chris Johnson is not going to find.
He has 186 yards and 0 touchdowns.
But he got like 135 of them last four weeks.
Yeah, he had a rush for 140-some last week, and he has 186 total. That shows you the kind of season this guy's had.
I'm taking the Vikings minus the 4 here. Go to the Giants game. Let's talk New York. Because you're big here on the Giants. And I'm going to tell everybody why the Giants are good. I'm going to tell everybody why the Giants are good.
We're going to have to get into this pick on the other side, I guess.
No, we're good.
Is this the break?
Line start at minus 13, moved to minus 8 during the week. Is it 8.5 or 8 now?
The line here is 8. The over-under is 43. And I really like the Giants here. Eli Manning is bouncing back. The Cleveland Browns have Brandon Weeden. They're playing better, but they're still the Cleveland Browns, a team that I have going 0-16.
Let's talk about who's not playing for the Giants today. Giants have six starters out today. Hosley's out. They got Ahmad Bradshaw going to play? I don't think so.
I mean,
they need to play the other kid. I think one of the reasons that they did, I don't know what Tom Coughlin's thinking, but the other day, Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, Andre Brown has 38 carries, 198 yards, and 3 touchdowns, and the majority of that came in that one game. But, I mean, he's a very good back. Ahmad Bradshaw's still a very good back. So, we'll get more into this on the other
side.
We'll
be back in a minute. We'll be talking Giants on AM 1230 WFAS.
Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're still talking about the New York football Giants, -8.
We were talking about something else for about 2 minutes. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I can't even talk about it.
That was the worst. You know what? No, I'm not. I'm just going to say it one time. I wouldn't vote for either one of those guys if they ran for dog catcher in my area. That's all I'm going to say. You can think what we were talking about and think you know it, but you probably do. It was hilarious.
I'm going to talk about the New York football Giants.
It was hilarious.
They are -8 over the Cleveland Browns. 43 is the total. Matt, are you ready this time?
Bush messed it up.
I can't do that. Yeah, this is my Stray Cash Homie Play of the Week.
Stray Cash Homie!
Where's Randy? Randy, get over here and sit next to me. Let me rub your... Randy, get on your knees. Let me rub your head because you're too tall.
Great cash, homie.
Thank you, buddy.
The New York football Giants are... they're too good. They're too good. They have too many weapons.
I'm going to let you just say everything about the Giants, and I'm going to tell everybody the real reason they should probably look at playing them. Go ahead.
I mean, the Browns are terrible. That's step one there.
But they're not number 32 on my poll anymore.
They are number 32
on mine. I got them 28.
They're the worst team in the league. They're going to go 0-16. The New York football Giants are a very good football team. They're going to be playing at home. Cleveland is traveling after getting a heartbreaker.
Anywhere's better than Cleveland. They played better in Baltimore. They couldn't wait to get the crab meat.
Well, they always play Baltimore good. That's a rivalry game. This is going to be a letdown. They had an emotional loss last week. Brandon Weeden.
This is one of the oldest pairings in the NFL. The Cleveland Browns and the New York football Giants, the two original teams that played. The Browns were always in Cleveland until they moved to Baltimore.
But that's my point.
But they really didn't lose them. They just kind of
That's my point, though. That was more the Baltimore and the Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens
yeah,
and
but
the,
none
the
of those guys on that team even were on that team.
Yeah, but the Ravens and the Browns, it's still
and the
a
owner's
rivalry
dead
game.
Now.
It's still a rivalry game. But Joshua Cribbs took a big hit last week.
God, he did.
And he's still going to be shaken up. He's not going to be 100% for this game. I don't care what you say. When you take a hit like that, it's going to take more than a week to bounce back, especially the way that he got rocked. So, I mean, the Giants have too good of a running game. They still have Eli Manning, who is very smart. He protects the football.
No,
he's
going
to spread
Eli's
it out.
Good? Oh, okay.
Victor Cruz is going to play. I know Hakeem Nicks shows up on the injury list, but Victor Cruz is going to have a field day today as the Browns' best cornerback. He's still out on suspension.
All right, stop. I'll buy all that. You got the Giants. Is this your straight cash?
This is my straight cash homie, yeah.
I'm going to tell everybody why the Giants are a good play today. It has nothing to do with what Roy said. The Giants are a good play today because all of the money in the country is on Cleveland. The line went from 13 to 8. That's 5 points. That means that all the early money was on Cleveland. And then as soon as the Giants' injury reports started to get more and more accurate, They're missing six starters. Kenny Phillips is arguably their best defensive back, easily.
Yeah,
Jared Husley's been a stud in the slot on special teams. He's a Virginia Tech guy that can still play.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, I mean, they have two receivers out. You know, their offensive line is still kind of a work in progress. But they're still a hell of a lot better than the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns have got a great running back, a rookie, who's got, but he's only averaging 3.5 a carry. He's got three touchdowns in four games. Brandon Whedon is arguably the worst quarterback coming around in the NFL.
He's pretty bad.
He's almost as bad as Matt Castle. But let me just say this.
He doesn't know where to stand.
No, but he's getting better. Because I'm going to tell you what I did.
He is getting better, yes.
His feet aren't very quick. He's still learning, but I like the guy. But he's still, you know, all those people. Right now, I want to say 52% of the country is on the Cleveland Browns against the Giants. And the line has moved 5 points. Take the Giants. You will never get this kind of value ever again with the Giants. 13 is probably the number.
It is.
You know what I would have said? 11.5.
Mm-hmm.
11.5 would have been my number.
Well, we talked so much about the Giants injury report. Look at the Cleveland Browns injury report. Joshua Cribb shows up. Muhammad Massaquoi shows up. Trent Richardson shows up.
Well, Massaquoi is their number one, really, and Cribbs,
and
they're both out. They're both out.
Well, Cribbs is probable.
Hey,
Massaquoi got hit by a truck last week.
Massaquoi has 9 catches all year.
Yeah, I mean,
all year.
The Browns are just as beat up as the Giants are.
You know what? You know who the Giants won't be able to replace? Kenny Phillips. I mean, you could see it in the game the other night when he came out. I mean, that was the toughest. Barton, you know, is good. Hakeem Nicks is a stud.
Yeah.
But they're fine. You know, they've got guys they can plug in. Plus, Victor Cruz will probably catch 12 passes today.
Yeah. The Giants,
he'll be doing the salsa dance.
The Giants have
times.
People that they can plug in and fill in here. The Cleveland Browns don't. If the Cleveland Browns had people they could fill in, then they wouldn't be playing the crap players that are starting.
Then they
now.
Wouldn't be the Cleveland Browns. Let's go to the next game. We already talked about Pittsburgh and Philly. We passed on that. We talked about Atlanta and Washington. Did we talk about Cam Newton yet in Seattle? Let's do that. That's a quickie. Carolina, I got -3. I got the total at 42.5. Believe it or not, you know, Carolina isn't great, but they almost put it on Atlanta this week.
But their secondary is so bad.
Their secondary isn't the worst that they have.
And
hey,
what are you doing?
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. Who does Cam Newton have to throw to?
Steve Smith.
Yeah, but besides Steve Smith, name me three receivers and don't look at your notes. Exactly.
Steve Smith.
They got Jonathan Stewart back. And Stewart looked good last week.
And D'Angelo Williams.
Well, he's not going to play today.
Steve Smith. They also have the old Giants. They have Greg Oden. And I'm going to name three for you. They have Steve Smith.
Greg Oden. Isn't he a basketball player? It looks like he's 50.
Not Greg Oden. You're right. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. It's
This is Bruce
Hall's
second opinion. I have no idea.
The old tight end.
Is.
He was the Bears tight end.
He's my NBA guy.
He was the Bears tight end. And they also have the Giants old tight end, Jeremy Shockey.
Yeah.
And they have the old Bears tight end, whatever his name is.
He's a big, tall guy.
It's not Greg Oden,
he's their number one receiver.
It looks like Greg Oden, but it's not Greg Oden.
No, he's their number one receiver, and he's a good ball player, and I know who you're talking about.
Greg
There's
Oden.
Two guys with the same the same name.
Greg
too.
Oden finally quit basketball, and he's playing for the Panthers.
Hey, let me tell you what is a very, very good play today is Carolina. Seattle's got a defense. So here's the problem with Seattle. Their defense will start coming at you right at the first whistle. And they won't stop until the final gun of the game. They've got three or four of the quickest, fastest linebackers I've seen anywhere. They're studs. But Carolina, this is a must game for Carolina. Carolina has to win this game. Seattle, not so much. Not everybody's expecting them to come east and win against Carolina.
Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
See, I was close.
Oden, yeah. Well, see, I have a photographic memory, and I'm thinking there's no way a 7-foot black man that looks like Robert Parrish is tied in for the Carolina Panthers.
And Shockey apparently doesn't.
Greg Olsen played in Chicago. He's played everywhere. Greg Olsen's actually a really good tight end, and he's almost more than a tight end. He runs routes. He doesn't really block much. He's a tall, lanky, gangly guy. I like him a lot. Let's go to the next game. I'm going to pass on this
game.
I
like this game either.
But take Carolina if you take anybody, because they're at home, and it's going to be some messy field conditions.
I have Seattle in this game. So
well, you're Well, are you going to take? Is there? Are they one of your?
They're
five?
Not one of my five. No.
All right. Chicago minus 5.5 at Jacksonville. 42.5 is the total here. You know, this is a trap.
Yep. I was just about to say
it's that. A trap. Except for a second week blip on the radar against the Packers that sacked him 8 times in the first half, the Bears have played pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, last Monday in Dallas, they picked Tony Romo off 5 times and beat the Cowboys in the spaceship.
And now they're playing another
quarterback. Now they're playing the worst offense in the league. They may go to Jacksonville and just chill. If they do, this could be an interesting game.
Yeah.
Hey, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be back in a minute. We're going to go over some stuff. We're going to finish up on baseball. Steph Stradley will be back. She'll be on the air here pretty soon. She's calling in from Texas. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230, the WFAS. It's Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And we're going over some NFL lines here with you guys.
Where did we leave off, Roy?
We were at Jacksonville, Chicago, and I believe we both said it was a trap game that this 5.5 spread after the Jacksonville Jaguars embarrassed the Cowboys.
Yeah, that wasn't a very good game. I mean, first of all, when are they going to fire Jason Garrett?
I don't understand the Cowboys. I don't understand them.
Well, you know what? Nobody understood why they kept. The DC for the Houston Texans so long, and because he was just friends with Jerry. And I'm pretty sure that Jason Garrett is like Jerry's adopted son. I mean, you know, I don't know his son, Steven, that well. I don't know his other son that well. I know they work for the team. I know that they're absolutely positively around. But, you know, I just don't get it. Do you?
No.
I mean, I don't understand how a team can be that dysfunctional. Now, you know, what's really funny to me is that Tony Romo has all of his protectors everywhere. And a lot of these protectors of Tony Romo are pretty good analysts. They know him. They like him. He's been exceptional at times. But sometimes he just has severe brain gas,
And
he's horrible.
And I said Jacksonville. I meant Chicago embarrassed the Cowboys last week, not Jacksonville. My mistake.
I mean, you've been making several today. It's all that beer you were drinking yesterday, watching that team of yours from West Virginia win.
I actually didn't really drink for the game yesterday because I was out in Baltimore for the Orioles Rangers game. So yesterday was a recovery day for me, and I'm still recovering.
You're still recovering?
Still recovering from the recovery day.
We got a call in. This is probably Steph. Stephanie, are you on the line there? Stephanie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Stephanie, right. Thanks for calling in. We're on the phone with Stephanie Stradley. She's like a beaten blog person from Houston. If you need to know anything about the Houston Texans, you can go to is it just at Stephanie Stradley?
At Steph Stradley.
At Steph Stradley. And you're also
on Twitter.
On Twitter. That's on Twitter. And that's where I know Steph from. Steph's one of the few people that has sent out almost as many tweets as I have in a year.
And I don't know about that.
Steph,
you're
I tell you what, you're amazing. You have this energy about you. Now, you traveled with the team, correct?
No, actually, I don't. I went to the playoff game last year, but typically I don't.
But you're at all of their games.
At the home games, yes.
Yeah, and one of the things I like so much about what you do is your perspective on the Texans to me is right on. It's just spot on all the time. I've liked the Texans for a while. I mean, Gary Kubiak to me is a good coach. It took him a while to get kind of, well, it probably took a lot longer than a lot of people like to see out there.
But part of the thing that Gary Kubiak came to is that team that he took on was a terrible team. That was a 2-14 team that if you looked at the roster of the 2005 season that he inherited, most of those players have been long gone. It was basically Andre Johnson and a bunch of guys. And, you know, you think of it, you know, Ray Lewis for the Ravens right. has been in the league longer than the Texans have been in existence. So you know,
that's a good point.
They had to really work from scratch. They didn't have a quarterback. They didn't have a running back. They didn't have – their defense at the time was the worst in the league. So he might as well have been taking over an expansion team. But so what he did first was build the passing game.
Right.
Then over time, he was able to get more of the kinds of coaching staff that he wanted originally, because a lot of times when you come into a new situation, you don't get your first dibs at your staff because they're under contract. So he's finally gotten the offensive coordinator who was his first pick by the name of Rick Dennison.
Right.
And he's a running game specialist, and it's no surprise that him coming to the team basically, you know, made the run offense explode. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you know, the Texans had two defensive coordinators who were first-time defensive coordinators and were terrible. Once they get Wade Phillips, this underperforming defense actually is playing in a sound way because they had a lot of players that played hard, but they just didn't play smart.
Yeah, Wade has done a phenomenal job since he got there. But he had some good defensive players anyway. But I think the best job that Wade has done is in what he did. You know, they lost two or three guys this past year to free agency, correct?
Yeah, Mario Williams.
Yeah, Mario Williams and D'Amico Ryans. But the thing that he did was he knows what players he needs. And the first thing that they ended up doing, and it was smart because, you know, a lot of times when you pay money in free agency, you get really bad people or you're overpaying.
Right.
Well, you could claim that the two guys that the Texans got when Wade came on are actually fairly compensated. He got Jonathan Joseph, who arguably has been playing the best at cornerback, you know, the last couple of years. And they got Daniel Manning, who as safety for this particular defense has been outstanding and had a pick six this last week.
Yeah, you know, the Texans for sure. I mean, the one other thing that nobody talks about that they had to deal with was Indianapolis was just there every year. Peyton Manning, that
sure.
offense. And you know what? You're only going to win. There's only 8 or 9 wins for you. We look at, you know, Roy and I, we do our show out of Maryland. We're both from Maryland and Northern Virginia. Our show goes out on the air in New York. And, you know, so we're pretty much East Coast guys. The Redskins, they're never going to have a team that wins more than 7 or 8 games, RG3 or no RG3, because they're dealing with two organizations that are by far much better than they are in the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that is a couple of years ago, somebody did an analysis of, you know, which divisions were the best divisions. And at that time, the AFC South was the most winning division, and the NFC East was the second most.
Yeah.
And if you look at both of those situations, there was a lot of continuity with the coaching staff. Maybe not with the Redskins, but, I mean,
coaching staff.
Well, no. And so, but for a long time, that was the way it was in the AFC South, even though there were some transitions
right.
with the Colts. It was Peyton, you know, Peyton Manning might as well have been coaching that team to a large extent. But, you know, the AFC South has completely flipped. It used to be, you know, that there was Jeff Fisher there forever and Jack Del Rio there forever. Mm-hmm. Well, the rest of the AFC South has flipped. And the Texans have been the organization that has been patiently building. And, yeah, they've been struggling trying to break into the AFC South. But now they've had a lot of continuity, and it's starting to pay off. They've gotten the right people in the right places.
Well, you know, Arian Foster, he's a UT guy. My son went to the University of Tennessee his freshman year to play baseball. And Arian Foster is just a monster as far as I'm concerned. But what's amazing is Ben Tate plays – not behind him, like right next to him. You know, it's almost like they can put either one of those guys in and they're going to get a master effort out of them. And,
well, yeah, it's like having a 1 and a 1A.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have exactly the same skill sets, and it's going to be interesting to see if they end up playing Ben Tate on Monday because he's had a toe injury. But even so, if you watch throughout this camp, they also have Justin Forsett,
Right.
Who is an incredible change of pace back. You know, he hasn't really come in much during the regular season, but we might see him some on Monday Night Football, depending on how things go. And he's actually pretty interesting to watch, too, because he's smaller than the other two backs, but he kind of pops out behind the offensive linemen, and he can get some yards pretty quick. But they all have very differing skill sets. I think the thing that Arian Foster does so well is he's just a very balanced back. You know, you don't
absolutely
have to worry, you don't have to worry about him in pass protection. You know, he's great at yards after the catch. You know, when he's receiving,
he's hard. He's definitely hard to bring down. Plus, he can pick those blitzers up pretty easily. He's a physical guy, and you know what?
He's big.
What I like about him? He plays hurt. He's one of those guys that he can have a tweaked hammy. A lot of these guys get a tweaked hamstring, and the first thing their agent tells them is, "Don't play." You know, if they leave it up to you, don't play. Arian Foster, he'd play if he had two pulled hamstrings.
In that playoff game against the Ravens, he had an incredible performance, and then the week after, I think he had a little bit of work done on his knee. I mean, it is amazing to think, and you could
he
see
just
him.
Had it scoped, right? He had some loose bodies or something in there.
Yeah, not much of anything, but to see him do that type of performance on the biggest stage, and really at that point he was most of the offense because they had the backup rookie quarterback in T.J. Yates.
Hey, how do they like Shane Graham out there? It's hard not to like Shane. Is he gonna stay out there the whole season, you think?
Oh yeah,
kicking the ball.
I don't think that there is any doubt. I mean, basically, there was a competition between him and Randy Bullock, who was a draft pick. And really, Bullock got injured near the end of the preseason, so kind of Graham got it by default. But if you watch throughout the training camp, consistently, Shane Graham had a very good camp. You know, he's missed a long field goal in the regular season, but he was crushing them during camp, and he had a very long one in the preseason.
Hey, if you have
but
a good
really, yeah, but really, it hasn't even come down to right. field because none of these games have been close.
Yeah,
yeah. Let me just say this. You know, I picked the, and I already told you this a couple of weeks ago, but you know, we last year I picked, and Roy agreed that the Giants were probably going to be in the Super Bowl. We did that in late October. Of course, they lost four games in a row after that. But the reasoning that we did that. That I went with that play, and I've been handicapping since the 70s, is because, you know, you got to look at the offenses. And if you can't score points, there are very few Baltimore Raven 10 years ago teams out there. You in this day and age in the NFL, if you can't put points up, you're probably not going to win. The reason that I liked the Giants so much last year was because they were one of the few teams that could score with the Packers in the NFC. And they ended up doing that. They ended up beating the Packers up there. And then they ended up, you know, barely holding on to beat the San Francisco 49ers. I like the 49ers in the NFC this year, and I really like the Texans. In my opinion, the Texans have one of the best teams I've ever seen. I wish I could see more of them. Now, Steph, where are you? Are you in Austin or are you in Houston?
No, I'm in Houston.
Are you? I see a lot of stuff from you. You travel a lot out there, don't you? You're big time.
Not too much.
Now, where did you go? You're also an attorney, correct?
Yeah, I went to the other UT, the University of Texas Law School.
No, there you
sorry
go.
About sorry about last night. I went to WVU, so
that was that.
Yeah, Roy.
It's tough times these days.
No, it is. Steph, hey, one last question for you because I know you got to go, and we've got to get into a commercial here. The one thing that I wanted to ask you is from an injury standpoint, how healthy are you guys today? What do the Texans look like? Who's out today?
Really the players, you know, there's some bumps and bruises, but there's not any significant injuries like there were. Like last year, the theme of last year was next man up because it just seemed like it was all of the best players for the Texans got hurt.
But you know what? I don't even see anybody that's questionable on your injury report, which says a lot.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys listed as having issues.
Right.
I mean, I think that maybe the biggest starter issue would be Antoine Caldwell is the right guard on the line. He's one of the guys that has kind of replaced the right side of the line, which has been an amazing story.
One of my friends recruited him at Alabama when he was there, Ronnie Middleton. He's a great ball player.
Yeah, and he had an ankle issue last year. He's now having another ankle issue. He's been rotating out with the rookie center from Georgia, Ben Jones.
Right.
Which, you know, Ben Jones didn't even play guard in college. He says he hadn't played guard since high school. And here he is, you know, starting games on the road. He may start on Monday. They think Antoine Caldwell is going to play, but they've been doing a rotation where, you know, Jones maybe gets, you know, a third of the snaps, which is very strange
right.
to do rotation. But they've been rotating both with right guard and right tackle, and so far it hasn't been an issue. It may become an issue perhaps when they face some more significant lines. But so far, you know, they've been able to move the ball when they want to.
Well, listen, I'm looking for them. They're going to be my straight cash homie of the week play this week. This is something that Roy and I do from time to time. It's just something we do on the show. It's what we consider. If they can't, I just can't believe that they're not going to go into New York and just beat up on the Jets.
Well, they were one of the most balanced teams in the league last year.
Right.
And even with a backup rookie quarterback, and it looks like they're basically the same team this year. They can win in different ways, whether it's a defensive battle or an offensive battle.
Yeah.
The only concern that they really have this year is their special teams has been underperforming. Graham has not been putting the ball, you know, like for touchback as much maybe he should. They have some new starters on the return teams, but they have a very experienced special teams coordinator, so they're hoping that they can get better field position.
Well, they're the new powerhouse out of the South, as far as I'm concerned. Stephanie Stradley from Houston, Texas. I want to thank you for coming on the show, Steph. And as these Houston Texans win more and more games, we're going to have you back on the show, okay?
Not a problem.
Thanks for being with us. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back in a minute with more football.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We just had
Steph Stradley,
the Texans beat, one of the Texans beat writers.
Yeah, she's a big blogger. She's like the biggest blogger in Houston. If you follow the Houston Texans at all, and if you don't follow them, Roy and I were just sitting here looking at the roster.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any old guys on their roster. They're all like, you know, 2-4, 2-4, 3-5, 4. Daniel Manning, doesn't it seem like Daniel Manning's been around forever?
Yeah, and it doesn't.
You know how many years he's been in the league? 6.
It doesn't hurt that the Texans have been a very lucky team, and I think that has a lot to do with player recruitment. But
absolutely.
But Steve Slayton was their running back came out, and he had a fumbling problem. He got
a
little hurt.
He's a West Virginia guy, right?
Yeah, he was a West Virginia guy, and he had a big season. And then he had a fumbling problem, and he got hurt. And then
went to Miami.
And then who stepped up? But Arian Foster came in the next season, and it was just kind of like,
who was a free agent, by the way.
Right,
he wasn't even drafted.
And
now he's all pro every
year.
So
you know the good teams get lucky, and luck was definitely a part of this.
Scouting has a lot to do with it.
But you're exactly right. You don't get lucky unless you have those scouts out there picking people up.
No, and it takes time to do that. And the Texans, historically, every year since Kubiak got there, except for the first year, have been 8-8. Remember?
Yeah.
I mean, they'd start out 8-2, and they'd lose 6 games in a row and go 8-8. There were a couple of times that a lot of people thought that Kubiak was done, that they were going to fire him, and they never did. And to their credit, they're almost starting to look now like a Pittsburgh Steeler kind of team or a New York Giant. Remember when Coughlin first came to New York, mm-hmm. everybody wanted his hide. Well, it's New York. He wasn't winning all the time. But Coughlin is that kind of guy. He's going to give you what he's got. He's going to do a better job than 99% of the people or 95% of the people out there. And he's going to get you consistent winning teams that are always competing for a title. And, you know, and so does Andy Reid. How many playoffs did they go to in a row? 14?
Yeah, I think that the Houston Texans are hoping for a little bit more out of Kubiak than Andy Reid. Because Andy Reid, although he's been to the playoffs, he's been there.
Yeah.
I'm
You think
the people
these,
in Houston won a Super Bowl?
I know. Well, you know what? Last year,
just getting there is not enough.
Last year, in my opinion, they outplayed the Ravens and they lost in Baltimore. Yeah. And a lot of that was just Ed Reed came up with a big play or two. I mean, it really looked like they'd lose that game. Then the Ravens outplayed, you know, the Patriots in the championship game, and they lost. Yeah. So it was really kind of a – and those are, the, in my opinion, those are three of the better teams in the AFC and are going to be. Let's talk, speaking of the Patriots, and speaking about – what was the name of that book we had the guy on that wrote Spygate, The Untold Story? Just Google that. And
Brian O'Leary is
it's
the –
$30.
Spygatethebook.com.
No, it's $20. You know, I'm tempted to buy that daggone book and just and get somebody to reprint it and send it out to all the beat writers. That is one of the most amazing books I've ever read. If that stuff in the book is anywhere near true, which I'm sure it is, or he'd be probably...
He'd have a pretty big lawsuit up
against
him if it wasn't
true. He'd be in dire straits right now. What he's got going for him in that book is just a lot of credibility from a lot of the interviews that he did with people that maybe only said one or two things, but they said it.
Yeah.
And they're on the record saying it. And the league just, you know, just... threw it underneath the rug. I mean, they swept everything underneath the rug. But anyway, let's talk about, speaking of New England, let's talk about the Patriots.
Very big football game
this week.
This
is huge. This is huge, you know, and they talk about, you know, this is Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't get any better than that. I like the value here. Now, I think you like Denver. I like New England here. And the reason
I like New England
is they just beat up. You know, last week they just destroyed Buffalo. Now, Buffalo is an average team. They have – no, don't get me wrong. Now, they got Ryan Fitzpatrick. They got some offensive weapons. They've had some injuries. Their defense is not good, in my opinion.
No.
They ended up getting the guy from Houston,
Mario Williams,
who has one sack. I mean, he's done nothing for them. And that just goes to show you that a lot of defense – Your success on defense is also predicated by the guys that play around you.
Absolutely.
And Buffalo doesn't have a lot of those guys. They got one guy, another guy named Williams, that plays a pretty good defensive tackle. But they're not doing much. New England, however, was down two touchdowns in that game. I went to the bathroom and came back, and they were up from two touchdowns. Denver's lost to two undefeated teams. They lost to the Texans and the Falcons. So, you know, it's not like... And they have the toughest. If you look at their schedule, it's the toughest schedule in the AFC.
I have Peyton Manning out of the playoffs. I told you that at the beginning
of the
season.
Well, I don't see how they win more than 8 or 9 games with that schedule. They've lost to Arizona, and they've lost by 2 points. They lost to the Ravens on a last-second field goal in Baltimore. The Patriots return home off the big victory. In the past two games, they've scored 82 points. Looks like, you know.
Their offense is clicking
again. You know, if you're me and you're the guys that have read Spygate, things are working for the Patriots again, and they're at home. So if they were on the road, I wouldn't feel this way. One of the things I read in the book that I really liked, and we talked about it before the show, was that Peyton Manning refuses to talk to anybody about game plans or plays for a game, the day of the game,
in the locker room,
in anywhere. In the locker room or anywhere in the stadium complex, he goes out on the field to have his conversations. That's pretty amazing, coming from a future Hall of Famer. Tony, you know the thing that you can always tell that Tony Dungy's had, you know, Peyton is 4-8 against Brady. Peyton's pretty good. The Indianapolis Colts have been pretty good. Their defenses have been about the same as New England's. New England 10, 15 years ago, had a better defense. They did. They had some great guys. I listened to a show called Safety Blitz with their
Rodney Harrison.
That's a great show.
I listened to that on the way up here.
I really like that show. Rodney has a tendency to kind of, you know, to toot his own horn a little bit. Yeah, but listen to me. But you know what? He gives you some good information,
he does,
too.
He does.
The guy that's on the show, you know, he's probably in fear of his life half the time because, you know, you can just kind of tell listening to him that he'll say something and then Rodney will go, "What do you, I don't even want to hear." They go, I'm really sorry, Mr. Harrison. I didn't mean to say that. But I like Rodney Harrison. He's okay. But Rodney Harrison knows where all the bones are buried. I could tell you that right now in New England. And I'd love to interview him sometime in the near future. But anyway, I like New England here because I think Denver is going to struggle. Look, Peyton Manning is learning a new offense. He's doing it with
You could say that Denver is learning a new offense of Peyton Manning.
Well, but you know what?
Peyton Manning knows this offense.
The fact of the matter is he's probably 70-80% of what he used to be.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I'm taking New England minus the 6.5. And guess what? That's my straight play homie for the day. Straight cash, homie. I forgot
straight
what I even
cash,
named.
Homie.
Hey, Randy.
Thank you, Randy.
Randy, do you agree with that? Now, you played for the Patriots. Would you play New England today as your number one pick? Tell me.
Straight cash, homie.
All right.
That's a yes. I'm going to take that as a yes.
That's absolutely a yes.
All
and
right.
If you look at what New England did to the Denver Broncos.
Why did you like Denver? Because I was reading you liked
it. I don't like Denver.
Well, then I thought it was you. Well, maybe you forgot what you said 3 days ago, like on Twitter or on
website. I like New England to win this game. I like the Broncos to cover.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm taking them to cover. I don't talk about just winning. I'm talking about covering. I'm taking a minus 6.5.
I mean, do I like the Broncos plus 6.5? Yes. But if you look at what New England did, I love the over here.
Do you know why I'm not taking the over? The over's a hedge to me.
Oh, my God. I love this
it's
over.
It's a hedge, though, and I'm going to tell you why. Let's just say they do get the rain they're expecting today, and it's nasty, and the wind's blowing 20 miles an hour like it's trying to right here right now. Peyton Manning ain't going to put a lot of points up on the board. He's just not going to because he doesn't have that arm anymore. I could see New England winning a game in the muck 27-7. I mean, that's what scares me about the over.
Peyton Manning will put a good 21 points on the board, but this New England Patriots game, Patriots team, they're going to put 30-some up on the board. If you look at what the Patriots did to the Broncos last year in the postseason,
yes,
you're going to see that again today. This Broncos defense is not that good.
Okay. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're coming down the home stretch here on AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're in our last segment, and we got a lot to get to. Still a lot of games left.
By the way, one thing I didn't say about the Pats last week is they had two running backs combined for 247 yards. I mean, you guys don't even know. Did a great job. So they ran the ball a little bit last week. They threw the ball a little bit last week. Let's go to the next game. San Francisco, Buffalo. Is that what you got?
Sure, if that's what you want to hit.
Let's talk about San Francisco, who still, if you look at my my ratings of all my NFL teams, which is at brucehallsports.com, my website, you'll see I still have San Francisco ranked number two. I still think they're the Super Bowl team with. I have Houston number one.
Me too.
Obviously. Yeah. But Houston hasn't really played anybody yet. Now, if they beat the Jets as bad as San Francisco beat the Jets, this is going to be a pretty good tell on just how good Houston is. And that's Monday night game tomorrow night. And if you want how I'm going to play the Monday night game or if I'm going to release it, give me a call, 1-800-466-4748. That's 1-800-466-4748. But you got to give me a call tomorrow afternoon, anytime after 12 noon. And you can call me 3 minutes before the game for all I care. I'll have my phone with me. You can text me, call me. That's 1-800-466-4748. The Niners went cross country 2 games in a row. They weren't ready, obviously, the first game. They went indoors in Minnesota. They totally, totally weren't prepared for Minnesota. They weren't expecting to be that physical. They weren't expecting a quarterback that could move like that, obviously. It looked like they just were asleep, and they got the crap kicked out of them. 24-13. It's 11 points. And the game was really never close. Then they stay in Ohio, where a lot of 49er people are from, Eddie DeBartolo and Carmen Palsy, who used to own and be the general manager of the 49ers. And they practiced at Youngstown State, I want to say, or at one of the high schools locally. all week, and they destroyed the New York Football Jets. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I mean, somebody, I can't remember who it was on the 49ers, said the Jets basically quit in that game.
Well, they were getting beat up pretty bad.
Oh, you know who it was? It was the corner from Washington, Carlos Rogers. Mm-hmm. And Carlos Rogers is questionable today, but I bet he plays. Boy, has he turned his career around once he left Washington. How many people have said that?
Yeah.
How about everybody?
Well, he learned how to catch, apparently, when he went to San
Francisco. You know, yeah, evidently it mattered or something. I don't know.
He was trying to catch the backs of his hands in
Washington. You know what? The Bills, to me, are very average. I don't even see the Bills winning eight games this year.
The Bills are pretty bad.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's okay at quarterback. You know, this is the game I like the over in, but this is where there's going to be some weather, and how can you play an over when San Francisco's in the game? Because if they get super physical here, Buffalo may only get 3 or 7 or 10 points. Yeah, I'm gonna pass on this total, but I'm taking San Francisco -10.
Wow.
I got to. How can I not take that? They're at home, Roy. Yeah. And you know what? It's beautiful in San Francisco, which means that their athleticism, their quickness, their power, Buffalo can't hide. They just got to come out and get the crap kicked out. Now, look, your boy Fred Jackson's back.
Yeah, and they still have a C.J. Spiller. And
but, you know, what do you think Freddie is, 70, 80%? Maybe.
Well, C.J. Spiller has played very well in his absence.
He's got a shoulder, though.
I love San Francisco here.
Everybody has a shoulder, but I mean a bad shoulder.
For some reason, I get the feeling that this is going to be like a 17-13 kind of game.
Okay. I could see that. Not...
This point spread of 10 points. Here's what
you're saying. You're saying that this Buffalo team that gave up 52 points last week is only going to allow San Francisco 17. Come on, please stop.
I don't see this. I just don't see this game.
Gore will rush for 170.
It's going to be crappy. It's going to be crappy. It's going to be.
Yeah, they're going
to. I don't know. Hey, I don't like this game.
Do me a favor. You pull up the weather for that. I'll go to the next game. The next game is New Orleans, San Diego. New Orleans is -3.5. The total here is 53.5. Now, I got to tell you, I love the over here. But you know what? Drew Brees has got Sean Payton, Joe Vitti, and another coach coming to the game. He got permission by, you know, the emperor, Roger Goodell, to have his coach come because he's supposed to break Johnny Unitas' record for consecutive games, 47, right? He's tied it already.
Yeah.
47 games with a touchdown pass. He'll break it today with his first touchdown pass.
He'll throw a couple today.
You know, they've been in every game this year. I read an article this week, and it was a very good article. And it wasn't in Sports Illustrated, but it was written by a blogger that used to work for Sports Illustrated. And the thing I liked about the article that this guy wrote was he said, hey, it's not, you know, just the owner. It's not Roger Goodell. Drew Brees had as much to do with him and the Saints starting off bad as anybody. And he explained that Drew Brees, because of his contract situation, first of all, he lied, Brees did, a couple of times about nobody getting in touch with him. They had been contacting him on a regular basis. He was holding out, by the way, for $20 million a year.
He was.
He did, yeah. But he wasn't willing to negotiate at all. And he wasn't willing to meet at all. And you know what else he didn't do? He didn't go to any of the practices at all. He did not go to any of the practices. And that's what this guy explained was the biggest problem.
Do you fault him for that, though?
Yes, absolutely. Because the Drew Brees that I was kind of trained into knowing was a guy that would automatically go show up for his teammates. He wasn't
doing that.
His agent made sure he didn't go. But I got to tell you, that basically told me, because it all was because of who this guy was. This guy likes Drew Brees, and he's known Drew Brees for a long time. He was just saying, hey, don't just blame Goodell and the Saints, you know, ownership about Brees. It had a lot more to do with it than that. So, you know, I mean, that was that. I like him today because San Diego has they haven't beat anybody. Hey, who have they beat?
This is my upset play of the week.
Now, do you like – well, upset would be San Diego.
Yeah.
See, that's not even fair because, first of all, this is what we call value in handicapping. San Diego should be a three-point favorite. Why are they a three-point underdog? Because everybody in the country is on Drew Brees. Well, I'm not taking New Orleans here, but what am I taking? Over 53.5. You don't think Phillip Rivers is going to try to match him yard for yard? It's Norv Turner. He'll throw the ball 70 times in this game if he has to. This is going to go over 53.5, Roy, with 10 minutes left in the third quarter. Take the over here for 5 stars, people. 53.5. I'm telling you, it's going to go over 60. If I'm wrong, it won't be the first time. But I really feel good about this. You know, everybody knows the story about Bandigate and blah, blah, blah. But it's just, you know, Drew Brees right now looks like he's coming out of spring, out of preseason, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. I mean, he really has looked rough.
I have a feeling that the Saints could win this game. They could get their first win here.
I think they are going to win.
But the minus 3.5, like this Phillip Rivers team is a very good team. This could be a 1-point game. This could be a shootout 1-point game. I like your over call here. But this Chargers team is not a bad football team, and they do have a lot of weapons, and Phillip Rivers is a very good quarterback. Now, one person who is going to be in the building today is your boy Sean Payton.
Yeah,
they're allowing him to be in the building today.
I just talked about that. Where
they have him? They have him in a little jail cell. Jail.
You understand? You understand? I've already gone over that, right?
You didn't talk about the jail cell that they built.
No, but
them.
I talked about Sean Payton, Joe Vitti, and the other guy being there today.
They built a little timeout room for them in like near the locker room area, so they could be in the building, but they couldn't talk to anybody. They're going to be like confined to their little like child timeout play room.
I guess they don't want any.
They don't want them stepping in there and coaching.
New England influence. They don't want any words exchanged.
Yep. So they'll be there, like you said.
Did Belichick have to sit out? Didn't he have to sit out a game last year when he got fined five? When was that? Two or three years ago? No, it was 2007.
I don't think he missed
You know when
any
that
games.
Was? That was 5 years ago. That was 2007 when that happened. So I just read the book.
Yeah. He didn't miss any games, though.
I think he missed one game. Pretty sure he just missed one game.
Yeah, maybe he did.
And he got fined $500,000.
It was not this. He didn't miss this many games.
Yeah, but yeah, it's what's ridiculous is the way the league is taking care of it. First of all, you cannot, and we're running out of time here. We do want to talk about our five plays,
yeah,
right?
We want to get to all of our games.
All right. Why don't we do that? And if we have some time left, we'll go over that.
We're still
going to
hit the Cincinnati game, the Cincinnati Miami game.
Oh, I'm on Miami +3.5 on this one. And I'll tell you why. Miami's the best 1-3 team in football.
And Cincinnati's the most underrated team.
Cincinnati sucks. I watched them play the Redskins.
They're a very good football team.
The Redskins moved the football at will against Cincinnati.
The Redskins move the ball at will against anybody and everybody.
That's not true. It's not going to happen against a good defense. It's not going to happen.
It'll happen every single week. They're the best team. You don't have enough to play with that statement
you just made. You're telling me the Redskins are going to score 30 points a game? It's not going to happen.
Well, they've done it so far.
Look who they've played, Roy.
It doesn't matter.
They played the Saints. They haven't played anybody that's any good yet.
Well, today they're going to put up 30.
Wait till they play Philadelphia. Wait till they play the better teams on their schedule. Mm-hmm. The Redskins aren't going to be there.
I didn't say the Redskins will be there, but I said they have a very good offense and they're going to put up points.
Well, right now they do have a good offense, but that doesn't mean anything. Go ahead. Who do you like? Who are your five teams?
I have Cincinnati here minus the points. But if we're doing five,
hey, go right down. I'm going to do 5-2.
I have the New York Giants -3.
Okay, that's a good play. I think it's a good play.
Giants -9. Texans -8.
Right. Now, Texans are 10 now, buddy.
Oh, well, I have them locked in at 8.
Well, you have them locked in at 8. If you're playing them today, it's 10.
Yeah, it's 8.
I'm taking them at 10.
It's 8.
Is it 8 now?
Yeah, it's 8.
Oh, I'll take them at 8. Is that the matchup number?
Yeah, it's on.
Latest?
This is the site that we both use.
Latest?
Yep.
Latest number?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Keep going.
Giants -9, Texans -8.
Okay.
Bengals -3.5. I like Packers -7, and I'll squeak a total in there. I'll do the Saints total. The Saints.
Oh, this is going to really stink because we're on about three of the same ones.
The Saints 52.
But you know what? In general, that's usually a good sign. If you got two guys that think the same, You want to play the games that we both like.
So Houston minus 8, Giants minus 9, Packers minus 7. What'd I say? New Orleans total, so that is plus 52.
Right.
And what was my last play? I don't even remember what it was.
It was the over in the Saints game.
That's only 4.
All right. We got 1 minute left.
Bengals.
That tells us.
Bengals.
Here are my plays. I already had St. Louis for you lucky 3 guys that called me, and I gave it to you.
Well, you got to pick a new 5.
I am. I'm not counting that. I'm just saying I'm on a roll. I got one in a row here. I'm taking Minnesota. I'm taking Miami.
I got Cincy in that game.
I'm taking New England. And I'm taking the over in the New Orleans Saints game.
We both got that. All right.
That's not bad.
Yeah, we actually don't have that many. We have one play this.
Is that it?
That's it. Yeah.
I love it. Listen, it's been a great day.
It has.
We had Steph Stradley on from Houston, Texas. And we're headed out in the rain to watch a ball game.
That's
now.
Right. Don't let me down, Bruce.
All right. This is Bruce Hall. We'll see you next week. I used to know.